It's been a death sentence until very recently, but and even Gerardo a few minutes ago couldn't believe that we'd use the word cure in the same sentence as FIP, but it's very much on the horizon.
Hello and welcome back. We thought we'd give you a little sneak preview of some of the best bits from an episode that we released recently on the Vet Veld Clinical Small Animal Medicine podcast. The information that Dr. Dave Collins, our resident medicine specialist at the Vet Veld, shares here is way too good to keep to ourselves. And it's also too good to keep to yourself. So please share this important message with your friends in practice. Dr. Dave has given us access to a comprehensive guide to everything we know about remdesivir, including a step-by-step treatment protocol. If you want to get your hands on these documents, go and subscribe to our mailing list at thevetveld.com and we will send them to you. In the full episode, Dave also goes over his favorite tips on how to actually diagnose FIP, which I'm sure you know can be an elusive bugger to pin down. If you want to hear the full episode, go and check it out at vvn.supercast.tech. That's VVN for Vet Veld Network. Enjoy and go and save some kitties.
Hi, I'm Hubert.
This is Gerardo.
Hi, I'm Dave Collins. I'm a small animal medicine specialist who works in the north of Sydney.
And you are listening to the Vet Veld Clinical Podcast. Welcome back, everybody, to another clinical episode with Dr. Dave Collins. And we are going to talk about a topic that, up until very recently, is one of my worst cases in GP land and in emergency.
Talking about FIP.
Feline infectious periodontitis. Dave, do you guys see lots of these end up at you as a specialist thing?
Yeah, so we do, yeah. We still see a few of the poor little kitties that have been in the family long enough to develop a lot of affection with all the family and yet develop the dreaded FIP. And I guess probably more commonly I see the cats with a fever of unknown origin that, you know, don't have effusive FIP. Mm-hmm. They're a bit more of an enigma and a bit more of a diagnostic dilemma and a challenge and may need a bunch of tests and imaging and whatnot. But yeah, we do see a few. And I think we were talking before that it's been a death sentence until very recently. But and even Gerardo a few minutes ago couldn't believe that we'd use the word cure in the same sentence as FIP. But it's very much on the horizon. You know, because coronavirus is, well, it's a very dirty word at the moment, but it's everywhere in the kit and cat world too. The dreaded mutation of FIP is something that we need to work up extensively sometimes and now have a few more treatment options.
So what are the hallmarks for you to say, yeah, this is a case of FIP in the non-obvious, the non-wet form? What are the boxes that need to be ticked for you?
The fever. Mm-hmm. The globulins, mm-hmm. often icterus, mm-hmm. Non-regenerative anemia, and yeah, non-responsive to antibiotics. They're all ringing alarm bells for me.
Okay, and that's enough for you to say, all right, this is what's wrong. We're in trouble.
Yeah, you've got to be careful, you know, jumping to conclusions with clients when one of the possible diagnoses is as devastating as that, but yeah, it's certainly got to be in the list of differentials to entertain initially.
So now here's the exciting part. This is what I really wanted to talk about. So at that stage, normally up until for my entire career, that's a hard conversation because you're basically telling them, all right, your cat is going to die.
Yeah.
What can you do about it? Is there surgery traditionally, have things changed at all in terms of treatment? What do you guys do for treatment? And
Yeah. Previously, my whole career, it's been I've been a vet for 25 years and it's been a death sentence the whole time and has been, you know, since you guys trained as well. It wasn't that long after me. You know, they were talking about things like interferons for a while there. They were talking about polyprenyl immunostimulant, which had some kind of iffy results. The interferon, I think the initial cases weren't probably definitively FIP, so the successes were a bit dubious. There's alpha, then omega, and interferon. They even talked about in the old days things like thalidomide, you know, that caused all the birth defects many years ago. Wow. That was actually used to switch the immune response to a cell-mediated or a Th1 response, because a strong cell-mediated response actually can eliminate FIP. It's the type 2 reaction with the antigen antibody that causes the effusive form. So that's sort of genetically determined, the response to the virus. And I guess it's also why COVID in humans has such massively different impacts. It's the response of the immune system. So a strong cell-mediated response is actually desirable to eliminate infection. They thought thalidomide might have switched that. But in my time, I've tried some interferon, and otherwise I've said try prednisolone for a little while and see how we go. It might settle down some inflammation. Things like pentoxifilin for vasculitis might help. But it's basically been preparing the owners for, euthanasia and having that quality of life discussion. But, fortunately on the horizon, there's a lot of research being done on antiviral compounds. There's a few novel concepts like even itraconazole, the antifungal's got some antiviral effects. There's larium, any surfers might have had in the tropics, might have had larium to try and fight malaria, but it does drive you cuckoo the day a week that you take it. So I think they've even banned people taking that. It's called mefloquine. It's a bit like the hydroxychloroquine that's been in the press a little bit about COVID, but that has been found to have some antiviral effects for not just FIP, but Khaleesi virus as well. So there's some research ongoing or coming up at the University of Sydney for that. But I think what it's all boiling down to is in a company called Gilead in the US that's got some great nucleotide analogs, which are antiviral compounds that inhibit RNA replication and have been found. Well, one of them, remdesivir, which has also been in the press a bit about COVID. It was originally developed for Ebola and found to be ineffective, but it's probably going to be a very effective drug if we ever get our hands on it for cats. And there's a very similar compound called GS441254, which is not a very sexy name, so we'll have to get the marketing department onto that one. But
sounds like a robot from Star Wars.
It's related to C-3PO. And that's had some very promising results. So for both the effusive and dry form, Neil Peterson from the University of Davis has published a lot of papers on that with some very promising results, including 2019 paper, 31 cats and 26 survivors. So incredible. And then there was a follow-up paper of 4 neurological cases, which 3 out of 4 survived. They need a much higher dose. Some of them do relapse, but all of these were previously a death sentence.
What kind of survival times we're looking at?
I think we'd only had like 2 years since the cases, so we haven't kind of looked at long-term survival rates, so I guess that'll follow, but all very promising. We're sort of in a touchy area here. The company hasn't registered it for veterinary use at all anywhere in the world, so we're not really allowed to dispense it. People are obtaining it, and anecdotally, there's been about an 80% success rate in cats in Australia. So anyone interested can Google it or go onto the FIP Warriors Facebook page and find out some information about it. And once we can get a hold of these compounds or remdesivir, then poor little FIP cats have got a much better fighting chance.
So we have a drug that could cure FIP.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we can't use it.
Yeah, well, that's the heartbreaking thing at the moment. Also, reportedly incredibly expensive. So,
I was about to say, could you jump on an online pharmacy and be a little bit dodge? And
yeah, we're talking many thousands of dollars for a treatment. So, So I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, because it's illegal. So what's happened? I read this article that Dave shared, and it's, you can get it from China, the people who black market producing it, and you can illegally order it from one of these places, but then they obviously, it's illegal, so they slug you for it.
It doesn't come from the bile of tigers or something like that, or...
No, so thankfully a recombinant product, I believe. So but yeah, I think one day we'll be able to get hold of it. Whether the price will be affordable remains to be seen.
So the FIP vaccines, I know there is one out there, the feline coronavirus vaccine. Ineffective? No point?
Yeah, no point. They just cannot universally protect against mutated coronavirus and give effective immunity. And there also does seem to be a problem with the length of immunity as well. So not just is it not checking against the right thing, but the duration of protectiveness is grossly inadequate too.
So nothing you can do to protect your patients against it, and for the time being, still not a hell of a lot you can do for treatment, but keep an ear to the ground.
Hope's on the horizon.
That's really exciting.
So we wrapped up that episode there, but since recording this about 6 months ago, things have happened in the world of FIP treatment. So we've recorded this little addendum with the most up-to-date what's happening right now, what you can do. You definitely want to hear what Dave has to say about FIP right now. Please enjoy. I want to start with just asking, have you had any cases or any more stories or anybody you know who has treated FIP with these new drugs? Or any more info on how they go?
Yeah, tragically, I haven't had my own case to manage, but I've just had anecdotal reports and they've all been very favourable. You know, I know a nurse that's had a cat that's done very well, and, you know, I think Gerardo was involved in a case as well. So, but yeah, personally, I haven't.
Gerardo, you know somebody who's treated their cat. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, I was helping them try to determine the diagnosis of their pet. It was a cat, had a big effusion with high globulins, didn't sound cardiac and things, and suspected it was FIP. They later confirmed it the next day. But then my original discussion was that, look, there's no treatment. There is a treatment, but we can't get it in Australia. And this incredibly resourceful and persistent friend of mine tracked down treatment and management within like one day. Wow. Just got online. And these people are very proactive in assisting and helping, especially in the Facebook groups. And it was, I don't know exactly how much it cost, but it was several thousand dollars of management and care. Mm. But if you embark, my take on this is that if you embark on it, it's daily injections. And her cat was a really, really nice cat at the start. And after daily injections, she started to come across things like the cat was starting to get quite needle shy. And we put the cat on daily gabapentin for pain relief and a bit of sedation. And that helped a little bit. And then tried like Emla creams and things like that. So the daily injections, you can get through it, but you have to be prepared for that.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think the efficacy, if you can get it in, and that's obviously the problem with a lot of cats that need chronic therapy, they can turn into vicious killers after a while. But yeah, various strategies such as gabapentin or buprenorphine for sedation, sometimes even putting an IV catheter in every 5 days to give it intravenously. So that's another option as well. But there's certainly been some exciting developments in the availability of treatment for cats.
Okay.
Last time we talked about, you know, trying to get hold of some of the protease inhibitor GS441524 and, you know, via a Facebook group, because vets weren't legally allowed to prescribe it or obtain it, which is problematic. So people were resorting to importing from China mostly, which was sort of black market, and you don't know about the efficacy or anything of the product. So it was certainly suboptimal availability. But ironically, the SARS-CoV-2 or what's it bloody called?
COVID. The pandemic.
It's just put away to a dark side of my brain. I don't access. Yeah, so COVID-19 or SARS-CoV-2 has meant a massive renewed interest in obviously vaccinations and therapy for coronavirus, and that's helped our little cats. So the company that makes, well, both that protease inhibitor and a similar one, remdesivir, which you may have heard about, which is GS5734, which is pretty much the same as the other product, the protease inhibitor. So we can import it into Australia and we can prescribe it and obtain it via Bova. And we know exactly what we're getting, how it's licensed, and, you know, with guaranteed, well, efficacy or availability anyway. So we've got a legal source of it, and we can manage our FIP cats, and usually pretty successfully.
And if you say we, that's specifically Australia. We know we've got access to it through that one company. Any ideas anywhere else?
I haven't, so I should have looked into UK and South Africa and whatnot, but I haven't as yet. Selfishly, I'm just interested in access for my own patients, and I know we're all over it. So I'll check that out and see if I can put something in the show notes if I can find out.
Well, we can do that. And the other thing, I joined the FIP Warriors veterinary Facebook page. So there's you're on there as well, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. Yep.
So there is a group, join that. There's a lot of vets who are using this, or not prescribing it, but helping their clients. And I see the default answer when vets ask questions is always they refer them to the Facebook page for clients where they can get their medications. It doesn't look on there like people are accessing it legally anywhere else. But there certainly seems reliable ways to get it. A few brand names that they seem to be reliably get. And there's also a lot of discussion about treatment and treatment problems. So it's actually quite a useful Facebook page. So go and check that out.
Another thing that might be ideally after, and I'll run through the treatment schedule for the remdesivir, and I've got the notes, which I've got permission to put in the show notes as well.
Awesome.
I can put a kind of treatment protocol on there. But Richard Malik has put together a protocol and tried it on a few patients in Sydney where they start with going on IV fluids and getting a high dose or 10 mg per kg intravenously over 10 minutes, diluted in saline, do that daily for the first few days, and then on to a lower dose of 5 to 6 mg per kg once a day. Might take 2 or 3 months to resolve completely. And I guess with cats with ocular or neurological involvement, they're going to need it. As per the other drug, that it seems to be a similar dose to that other nucleoside. It's probably going to be more like 10 mg per kg, so much more drug.
So this is the remdesivir we're talking about?
Remdesivir, yeah, so higher dose for ocular and neurological involvement, as I think we discussed in the podcast. Mm-hmm. And if there isn't any ocular or CNS signs to kind of monitor, then I guess you're sort of looking at globulins and things like that to look for resolution of the disease.
Okay. What else are we missing? In Australia, it's legal. Contact Bova. There's a treatment protocol. We'll put it in the notes for you as well. So just a quick clarification, because you can get it legally, you can then as a veterinarian legally treat this. So this can come into your hospital. You're not going to get your license revoked or something for you for being
a contact Bova. Yeah, it's all above board, so to speak. And we can legally manage and treat.
So, that's fantastic news. I reckon this is a
groundbreaking.
It's lovely to work in a period when something huge like that happens, where there's a massive paradigm shift or something. Excellent.
All thanks to COVID, really. So price-wise, it looks like a 100 milligram vial is about $250 plus GST and postage. I reckon I just did a quick calculation. It's still going to be, you know, drug and some veterinary care, $6,000 to $10,000 to treat. So that's probably the downside, and I fear that it probably won't eliminate the black market if things are that expensive. But at least as veterinarians, you know, we've got a legal option.
I think that's a great thing to have happened, even if it does cost a little bit extra from the black market aspect. But at least you got confirmation of the product and the quality of the product.
Yeah, you know what you're getting. Yeah.
Well, and especially the daily injections. I mean, if it was my cat and I had to do that at home without any help, even as a veterinarian, it would be extremely stressful for me. So imagine for a client to have to go through this, it'd be absolute hell to do it. Now that you can actually, your vet's actually legally allowed to help you, it makes a massive difference. It's definitely worth the money, I'd say.
Come in for some help, for the injections.
Okay, we'll wrap it up there. That's excellent news. Thanks so much, guys.
No worries.
You know those conversations that you have at conferences, back in the days when we still had big vet conferences, when people are chatting to the lecturers and asking questions, and you hear things like, "This isn't really in the books, but here's what I think." It's in those kinds of conversations that the best nuggets of wisdom appear, the nitty-gritty real-life details that you can only get from years and years of experience. And it's exactly those kinds of conversations that we try to emulate on the Vet Vault Clinical Podcasts. We don't want lectures, we want to hear about the challenges, the tips, the stuff-ups, the This is how I do it. Go to vvn.supercast.net to join in the conversation.